Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Hot stuff.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? This is the Fansmanship podcast. It is a fantasy baseball podcast on this Thursday, May 3rd, 2012, along with Owen Main here. It's Jesse Pereira.
Hey, hello, Jesse. Hello.
What's happening?
Oh, you know, just busy winning.
Winning? I wouldn't know anything about that.
Yeah. Well, maybe next week.
Yeah. We'll get more into that today.
I just can't stop giving you a hard time about the fact that we're playing this week.
Yeah, Jesse and I are facing off this week. Yeah. And we'll get...
It hasn't gone well for Owen so far.
We'll get deep into the... into what's happening with my team, or really what's not happening. Actually, my team's not doing so bad. Jesse's team's just amazing this week, including Jared Weaver. But that's neither here nor there.
Did he pitch already?
Shut up. Shut your mouth.
I can't help myself. I just can't. I'm sorry. It's been bad. I've been texting Owen. It's been terrible.
So topics for today. We're going to talk about relief pitchers, the duds that have really come up and come through. Jonathan Broxton's not on the Dodgers yet, but
it feels like he's still there.
It feels like he's
still
there.
It's the ghost of Jonathan Broxton.
The ghost of relievers past.
Now he's tormenting Royals fans.
Exactly. Jesse and I have also been spending some time over the last couple weeks since our last podcast interacting with the pros. So we'll talk a little bit about that and how fun or not fun that can be. We'll talk a little bit about local players in the majors and their fantasy impact, local being San Luis Obispo County. Or there's one Fresno State guy I think we're going to talk about too in there. We will talk about next Jesse's scout team, a little segment entitled "Who's Watching You?" And maybe Jesse can hum the lyrics or something. And then last but not least, we're going to look at some trades in our league. A lot of these podcasts have hypothetical trades, but we're going to look at real trades that have happened and talk about kind of would you rather.
Yeah. And there's some pending ones. We can talk about that one as well. The ones that are pending.
Okay, like the one you made today?
I guess I did make a trade today. Yeah.
You did?
It's been trading season. Our league has been out of control with trades.
It has been, yeah. And I think I started it by trading Elvis to you.
I'm really happy about that trade, by the way.
I know, yeah. He's been really good this year, just like the last couple of years. I was hoping he'd like get hurt or something. But
thank you.
That was a good draft pick by me. I think I got him in the fifth or sixth
round. It was high.
Fifth round.
Yeah.
And we actually, you know, keep four. So it's really technically the ninth round. So anyway, I'm kicking myself about a few things, but things may work out in my favor if Duda has has any kind of a season.
Well, you need Gordon to turn it around.
D. Gordon, I need production out of Daniel Murphy. I need production out of Lucas Duda, which those three are my three weakest links. Let's start, though, about a weak link I had last week. And I started the season with a relief pitcher from Los Angeles, and last week I dropped that relief pitcher from Los Angeles and picked up another one, and hasn't been a good start to the season for my fantasy guys. I started the season with Jordan Walden, who I drafted late in the draft, but I still drafted him as somebody who I thought could be a sleeper. I thought the Angels were going to be really good.
Oops.
Wow. Yeah, I thought the Angels were going to be good in there.
This is awkward.
Yeah, they're just not. Sorry, Luke, if you're listening. The Angels just are...
good times.
Yeah. Yeah. The Angels I'm not excited about. I think they're... About a week ago, I said that I thought they would still finish around the same record as the Dodgers. Over the last week, they haven't shown me anything, and I think now we have a sampling of like 20, 25 games.
And we have... Clubhouse discontent.
Mickey Hatcher, who was actually one of the first autographs I ever got. I was at a Dodger game and Mickey Hatcher signed my glove. And Mickey Hatcher never walked, if you ever watched the Dodgers back in the day. Mickey Hatcher always ran out to the outfield, ran in from wherever. He was never a guy who would, like, you know, just kind of put his helmet down on the ground and wait for somebody to walk out his glove to him. He'd like run into the dugout and get it himself. And he was a hero on the 88 team along with Socha. And so Mickey Hatcher and Pujols are having some some words and
well, the Pujols angels, is the one creating problems, honestly.
Well, if Pujols would hit, he wouldn't have so many problems, I think.
It was a non-issue until Pujols opened his mouth.
Until he said something. Yeah. So anyway, I thought the Angels were going to be good. I drafted Walden. Didn't work out so much. The first 3 weeks, probably Walden had like negative 10. The first like week or two, he had like negative 10 the first 2 weeks combined probably. So I canned Walden and I picked up a hot reliever who saved his first 7 chances by the name of Javi Guerra. And this was right after you were...
I kind of talked him up a little bit.
You
and
talked
I was,
him up.
I was baiting Owen.
No, I mean, he was 7-for-7 at the time for a really hot Dodger team. I thought, hey, why not? I like the Dodgers. It'll be nice to be able to root for Guerra too. And that was right after you had dropped Sergio Santos and said all kinds of things about what you did to Sergio.
So not I to thought, him, to his car.
To his car, sorry. Yeah. So I picked up Guerra.
Hypothetical things.
And Guerra had negative 20 in 1 week. Negative 21, I think.
Last week was not a good week to be a Javi Guerra owner.
So, and I lost by more than that, but that's neither here nor there. So dropped Javi, and now I am the proud owner of Fernando Rodney, who it was actually a good pickup off the waiver wire.
You know that the Rays are amazing with they totally
haven't they been just over the last few years? Just
they turned Kyle, you know, they pick him off the scrap heap and then turn him into studs.
It sounded like you separated your S and your C there.
Scrap heap.
Scrap heap.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Farnsworth last year was amazing, and now they pulled Rodney off of the out of the dumpster, and he's been awesome.
Was Rodney that bad for the Tigers last year?
He wasn't bad, but no
team. Or was he hurt?
You know, I'm a strong believer in the Rays' philosophy of not signing. Like, the clubs that sign closers to $15 million contracts, I think it's a phenomenal waste of money.
Sure.
You know, that's a guy you can pull out of your system. If you can't find someone to close games for you, then... it's your own problem.
Or pull him off the scrap heap like the Rays did. So I've got Rodney, and he's got plus 21 or so already this week. So I'm happy with him. But what are some other closers, Jesse, who have really been duds this year, who guys drafted? I mean, first and foremost, your boy, Sergio. You know Sergio.
Well, Sergio, yeah.
You know Sergio?
Sergio did not start out well, and then he got hurt. So now he's just out there doing nothing. Actually, he didn't get hurt. Excuse me. He had... a child.
A family issue?
Yeah, he's... Baseball players aren't supposed to have families.
No. He's with child?
Yeah, he's with child. So, but I think he's back now, but I don't even think he's closing anymore.
You know what's interesting? And I'll say this. I just flashed on it. I read a book that talked about Tracy McGrady. And before and after he had kids, he's a guy who needs sleep in order to perform. And how his numbers went down significantly. Like, even the same year after he had kids. Hmm. And maybe Sergio's kind of like that too.
I don't know about that.
Like Tracy used to take like, he used to sleep like 12 hours a day.
Yeah. Well, didn't they call him Big Sleep?
Well, you see his eyes. I mean, he looks like he's tired all the time. But he literally used to eat, or excuse me, sleep like 12 hours a day. And after he had kids, he couldn't do that anymore.
That theory doesn't hold up to Santos though, because he was bad before.
There you go.
But you know, the one that actually sticks out to mind other than that particular reliever is, and there was actually some trash talking back and forth in our draft when Drew Storen was selected by Craig.
Who does he close for?
He closes for the Nationals.
The Nationals?
Yeah, but he's been hurt. He has his big zero for the season.
Okay.
Immediately following him, Andy Stevens selected Heath Bell and then promptly began ragging
on Craig for leaving Heath Bell on the board.
I think the direct quote was, how do you take Storen over proven Heath Bell? Anyway, that hasn't worked out so well for Andy. Heath Bell, of all the pitchers in our league, there are two pitchers that are worse than Heath Bell. Mark Mellencamp for Boston and Francisco Liriano.
Liriano's a relief pitcher.
All pitchers. I'm saying all pitchers the entire league. Dang. Of any pitcher that you could have in the universe pitching for your team, Heath Bell is the third worst.
So the running joke has been Drew Storen would have got you zero this week, so but Javi Guerra got you negative 20. Yeah. So if you have Drew Storen starting for your team this week, you're in good shape.
Drew Storen has become the baseline for bad closers. So
Mendoza line for the closers has become zero. Yeah.
If you're breaking even with your reliever, then you're ahead. And I'm actually going non-reliever. I don't have a traditional closer on my team.
Right.
Well, I have Kenley Jansen, but I'm waiting for him to close.
But you've got guys who are starting pitchers, but who have relief pitcher eligibility.
Yes,
that's something that a commissioner would do.
Yeah. You know, we talked about it, and it's yeah. okay by the rules. Everybody
yeah.
decided.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, eligibility is eligibility.
Yeah.
We can't adjust that. I mean,
yeah, it's too much policing.
That would be like right. saying that, you know, if somebody played, if Buster Posey played first base, he doesn't have catcher eligibility. For,
yeah, you can't put yeah. it. Yeah, I agree. Yeah,
that kind of thing.
But yeah, I've got Matt Moore and Chris Sale doing work for me.
And that's something the pros, you know, when I listened to the podcast before the year started, it's something that a lot of the guys who are on like CBS podcast, Al Melchior and some of those guys, really, they just bag on the closer position in general. They say mm-hmm. never, you know, never draft a closer high unless his name is like Mariano Rivera. And Rivera even went on the DL. I think he's probably going to go on the DL. It looks like, according to an article I read today. And speaking of the pros, and I'm using big air quotes for those of you who can't see me, basically anybody but Jesse. Speaking of the pros, we've been having a good time talking to them on Twitter recently. Al Melchior and Nando DeFino.
Oh, I haven't been following. Have you been? Oh, you moved off of Al because I was making fun of you.
Well, I still ask different people different questions, but it might be more strategic than
oh,
you
okay.
think. So,
right.
so I have other guys who
like
ask
Nando has
to.
Different skills.
Nando has some different takes for sure. Yeah, he was actually I've been trying to get rid of and for those of you I think who are listening, you probably might know from last time. Our league is made up of 10 teams. We have two guys who, two hitters and two pitchers that we get to keep every year. We can only keep them for a maximum of two keeps. That means you get them for 3 years. You can only keep them twice. And so I have two players who I can't keep this year, Felix Hernandez and Mark Teixeira.
And that's a problem with everybody. Basically, our league is 3 years old. So everybody's
right.
keepers.
This year is huge.
Yeah.
And we knew it would be. And I think it's a good test year for how this is going to go.
And I think it's been awesome.
it's been all right. Yeah. I mean, it's been interesting. That's for sure. I'm interested to see because I feel like the balance of power has been pretty balanced for the most part. Like different guys have won every year, right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, we haven't had repeat champions.
Right. Right. And I'm interested to see kind of what the springboard for the next few years looks like and whether some of the teams that are kind of perennial strugglers are able to kind of pull themselves up maybe by some of these trades. I think that that's definitely a possibility. Anyway, I'm trying to get rid of Teixeira and Felix, but get something good for him. And I posited the trade that it was on the board to Nando DeFino. And he said, hold off. You could get something better for Teixeira.
You're selling low right now. He always starts out slow.
Yeah, right. And so I don't want to do that. And I can hopefully if Craig calls me back, I can hopefully still get price for Hernandez. I think that's going to be a pretty even trade. I'm thinking. I mean, what are you going to get for Felix? Price is everything that Felix isn't in terms of being on a good team, but Felix has more consistency and stability. So.
Mm. Injury. Price has been pretty solid. Yeah. He was a Cy Young front runner
sure.
recently.
But so was Felix for the last few years. Even
Felix
on a
is
crap
every year.
Team.
Yeah.
Even on the worst team.
But, you know, the other argument is...
Are the Mariners ever going to score a freaking run? Craig, don't listen to this. are the Mariners ever going to score a freaking run? I don't know. I sometimes wonder.
Let's worry about them getting their team on base percentage up over 300.
Really?
That's embarrassing.
Really? Yeah. They don't... It's not...
They're historically bad. Yeah.
Anyway, I shudder to think about it. So when I started tweeting to Al Melchior, who's a CBS sports guy, Jesse started seeing it.
I actually reactivated my Twitter account specifically to torment Owen. I had an account. I never really used it. Owen said, oh, yeah, I've been asking Al about...
And as a reminder, you can follow me at Owen Main, and at Fansmanship is another good one. And Jesse is at...
MindButter.
At mind_butter.
Yes.
There's an underscore there, isn't
there? There is an underscore.
So at mind...
Apparently there's another mind butter out there. There wasn't when I signed up, but there
mind
is
_butter. Is there?
Yeah.
Have you checked it?
My wife told me about it.
Okay, there you go.
I don't know what he does, but...
He butters
There's
the
only
mind.
One true mind butter.
He butters the mind up good. So that's fun, and I would definitely recommend it. Those guys are really good, the pros. They're really good about getting back to you if you ask them just a straight-up question.
I was actually surprised.
You usually get an answer, and sometimes you even get a retweet like I did. So that's, you know, it's not really the most exciting thing that's ever happened to me, but it's
you got fun. What was your retweet?
Because I was Nando's 1,200 first follower, so I demanded he answer my question. And he liked that. And now he has about 1,257, I think.
Nice.
I looked at it today. So dud relievers, the pros are fun times. Let's take a look at, and if I had a soundbite for this, I might make it up, how the local guys are doing in fantasy. And I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 local guys that we're going to talk about today. They are in no particular order: Danny Duffy, Kevin Correa, Matt Garza, Ted Lilly, Brent Morrow.
I think it's Brett.
Brett Morrow. My handwriting is horrible. You could look it up because you have the computer in front of you.
Yeah.
I think it's Brent, actually.
I get distracted.
And Theodore Roosevelt Lilly,
mm-hmm,
along with Bud Norris.
Was Ted the one you were saying went to Fresno State?
Nope.
Okay. I was going to say, because he went to Fresno City,
yep,
not Fresno State. Okay.
Yep.
Just making sure. Checking your facts. Fact checking.
Fact check.
Okay, so Brett.
Is it Brett?
It's Brent.
Brent. Ah, told you so. Actually, the one that went to Fresno State, we'll start with. He's the best one of the bunch. His name is Matt Garza.
Fantasy ace.
He's the Cubs ace. He's a fantasy ace. Let me read a couple of his sweet numbers so far this year. In 5 starts, he's 2-1 with a 2.67 ERA, which is good, especially on the Cubs. His walk plus hits per inning pitched, his whip is .891. He has 36 strikeouts in 5 starts. That doesn't suck.
Mm-hmm. Right.
How many? What is that? Is that about almost 8? 7.5?
Well,
seven.
How many innings has he pitched?
Seven strikeouts a game.
Yeah.
That doesn't suck.
No, he's been solid. He's always been a good strikeout pitcher.
And not only is he striking guys out, but he has 3.6 strikeouts per walk. 3.6 strikeout to walk ratio will get it done.
Yeah.
He's in his 7th year. He's pitching for the Cubs. Of course, he pitched for the Rays right before.
Yeah, I think he found a new level when he went to
Chicago.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was he on the Rays the deep run they made? He was on their team when they made the deep run.
Yeah. And you know, that was a good shrewd move by them to move him off and turn him into other pieces. I don't remember who they got for him, but I think they're playing on the Rays right now.
Sure. Speaking of the Rays, you're a proud owner of Evan Longoria.
Yeah, I'm disappointed that he got hurt, but he'll come back.
It's one of those things you can't really do anything about. Yeah, and you just got a
he's had some bad breaks,
and you just traded yourself into a sweet third baseman option.
Yes, pretty excited about next year. Actually, yeah,
there you go.
And this year,
there you go. Let's kind of get closer to home. A Cabrillo High School product, left-handed pitcher for the Royals, Danny Duffy. Danny is 23 years old and has a 3.63 earned run average so far this year. He's 1-2, and he is pitching pretty well so far. I mean, the Royals aren't exactly world beaters, and he has more walks and more strikeouts and a smaller whip this year than last year. Last year was, I think, his first year.
I think next year is going to be the year to watch Danny Duffy. You know, lefties take a little bit longer for some reason. Next year or the year after, I think next year he's going to be, I think you look for him to have a strong second half, but he's got to cut down on his walks. He's still not throwing. He's got, you know, he has ace potential.
Right.
He could be a perennial guy that people are going after in the early rounds.
And he's still a 2-1 strikeout to walk, even though he's walking more guys. He's also striking out more, so he's got a better strikeout to walk than he did last year as well.
No, he's been improving, and he's only 23.
Yeah, he's only 23, so as a lefty, he's probably going to be able to develop a little bit more before we see his complete best repertoire.
Yeah, I think next year, everybody was kind of picking the Royals as a dark horse. I think next year is the year for the Royals. I think they need some of the young players to get a little bit more seasoning.
Sure.
Moustakas is going to be awesome. And
Moustakas.
He's coming around. I think.
What if Moustakas and Euculus played on the same team?
The world may explode. I don't know. I think Moustakas is going to be a Royal for a long time.
Really, you think they're going to hang on to him like the Rays have with Longoria? I think that's what they're trying to be?
I think they're going to get Hosmer. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I think they're going to get Hosmer and Moustakas wrapped up long term.
Billy Butler.
Yeah, they've got a good nucleus. Yeah. So they're on their way. And they have young pitching. That's what needs to come around.
Right. So. You know, we saw Luke Hochaver in spring training pitch against the Dodgers. And I didn't realize at the time, but I read an article recently about the McCourt Dodger ownership. And Hochaver was a kind of a bellwether. The Dodgers drafted him and then refused to pay him the money that people thought that he should get. And so he went back to school and went back in the draft, and the Royals got him the next year and paid him. So kind of a weird, interesting Royal related story. back to the local guys, a 10-year major league veteran, Kevin Correa from Cal Poly, is 1-1 for the Pirates so far this year. He's got a 2.42 ERA and only a 1.13 strikeout to walk ratio, which is kind of classic Kevin Correa, maybe, at his best, is that he's not going to strike guys out. He's not going to walk a lot of guys either, but he has a good ERA, and the 1-1 record is, you know, Pirate related, I'm sure, for that ERA.
Yeah, the Pirates haven't exactly been scoring a lot of runs. So I think they scored they're scoring 2 runs a game or something. Something really bad.
Yeah, something so not good.
He's a middling, borderline fantasy value and relevance.
Right. Brent Morrell, or Morrell, how would you pronounce it?
I would pronounce it no fantasy relevance whatsoever.
Yeah, pretty much. He plays for the White Sox.
Unfortunately, yeah.
He was a third baseman. Last year, he played on only 126 games, hit .245 with 10 homers, 41 RBIs. He had a .653 OPS, you know, okay numbers for your first year, maybe, and you're hoping the guy gets better the following year.
Yeah, and Ventura tried to cram him into that number 2 spot in their lineup, and he's hitting under .200, so it just did not work out.
As of this morning, he's hitting .188 with no home runs and 3 RBIs in 23 games.
That's
a .439 OPS.
He's a glove first guy. He's a guy that it maybe isn't a bad guy to have on your team, but he's never going to be on a fantasy team.
And he's local, I guess, because he's from Bakersfield Centennial High School, and he went to Cal Poly Pomona. Cal Poly Pomona.
Okay. Wrong
the
Cal Poly.
Broncos, I believe. Cal Poly Pomona.
Yeah, the wrong Cal Poly.
Pulled that one out. Cal Poly Pomona Broncos.
Nice research.
I just knew that one, actually.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. We'll save Theodore for last. Let's talk about a guy on my team. Big Bud Norris from Cal Poly in his fourth year. He's 27. He has had a couple of decent years. Last year he pitched pretty well, and I took a flyer on him kind of late in the draft to try to bolster my pitching rotation with maybe another good pitcher on a horrible team. That seems to be something that I do. And Norris is kind of has random stats this year so far. He's 1-1 with a 5.46 ERA, so not a great ERA. He's made 5 starts, but he has 8.3 strikeouts per 9 innings. He has a 3.22 strikeout to walk ratio. And despite his 5.46 ERA, the baseballreference.com has his wins above replacement at 1.3 so far this year.
Interesting.
So, yeah, super interesting, right? Maybe there was just one bad game. I think there was just one bad game where he didn't do well.
He's been decent. He was decent last year. He's decent this year. He's not going to win a championship for you, but
he pitches in Houston. Yeah. He's not a bad last starter on your rotation. And, you know, you put him in when there's 2 starts that week, and that's what I'm doing this next week.
Houston doesn't look like it's as far away as everybody thought they were at the beginning of this year. It may get worse for them when they move to the American League next year, but
yeah, it won't get better.
It's not going to get better for sure.
Now, what's that division going to be?
It's going to be Houston, Texas. They're just going into the West.
Yeah, but they're moving somebody. They're realigning 4 divisions in each league instead of 3.
No, I think it's still going to be 3. We'll have to check that. Fact checker.
Okay, wait, because every other division has 5 teams.
And there's 4
teams. But there's 4 in the AL West, so they're adding, and 6 in the NL Central.
Right.
So you take one away from there and it makes 5. You put one in the AL West, that makes 5.
Well, I think one of the teams in the NL Central.
That's the Astros. Yeah.
They'll go to the West. Right. And then they create a natural rivalry between the Rangers and Houston. Yeah.
Except there's no National League Baseball in Texas anymore.
Whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
Texas has always been kind of a futuristic American League state anyway. with the Astrodome.
Yes.
Their fancy Astrodome with their fancy AstroTurf. All right.
Right.
Last guy who we're considering local, and you can tell why, his name is Theodore Roosevelt, a.k.a. Ted Lilly, the left-handed pitcher for the Dodgers, the 14-year veteran. 14 years he's been in the league now.
Wow. Yeah, he's been around for a while. He was drafted by the Dodgers.
Drafted by the Dodgers, and funny random thing I found out today, he began his career in 1999 with what team?
The Expos.
Oh, you knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, good one.
He got traded. Who did he get traded to the Expos for?
From the Dodgers?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Was he in the Guerrero or the DeShields? In the Pedro? Was he with Pedro?
He was in, I believe he was in the infamous uh-huh. Delino DeShields trade.
Oh, so the Dodgers got Delino, and they only had to give up
and they only had to
Pedro
give up
and Ted Lilly.
Two future amazing pitcher.
Oh, I think I just got a little lightheaded right there. I'm pretty sure
that's the trade he was involved with.
Ted's had a great start to the year. 0.846 whip in four starts. He's 3-0 with a 1.38 ERA.
I think he leads in the National League in ERA, doesn't he? Or he's in the top five.
He was leading
it last week. I know that.
He's got a 4.5 hits allowed per nine innings. 4.5 is pretty solid. And 0.846 whip. So doing a pretty good job.
This is his...
For the Yoyers.
Does he have a... I think his contract goes through next year.
I think it was a three-year, $33 million.
Yeah, that sounds right.
I think that was something I saw today. So $11 million a year, not bad. Get you a nice little place in Slow County.
Yep, that he's already got. He bought that off Cubs money.
Bob Cubs money.
Yeah.
He had some amazing years with the Cubs, like, you know, 16-8, that kind of thing.
Yeah, he's never going to win a Cy Young, but he's always a great guy to have on your rotation.
Right. Cool. Well, that was the segment that we're going to figure out a title for later on. That segment is going to be...
Local players and kind of local players.
Local players.
Players with ties to Slow County.
Local guys and fantasy.
No, not that.
Local fantasy guys.
Wait. Don't know. No. This is awkward.
Who do you have fantasy? No.
I think you should stop.
That was... I could make a funny joke about that, but I will not.
Probably a good decision there.
Moving on. Segue. Not really a segue, but moving right along.
If you call it a segue, it is.
It's a segue. This is a segue to Jesse's fantasy scout team.
We'll have to work on the sounds for that.
Totally. So Jesse keeps a pretty robust scout team, including guys from the minor leagues, guys from the major leagues, guys who are like 12 years old and playing down at Lila Kaiser in Morro Bay.
That's right.
He's not really sure why. But they're on CBS already, so he's checking them out.
If they're on CBS, I could be watching them. So
could be watching them. Okay, that was really bad. So Jesse, tell us a little bit about a few up and comers, people you're looky looing on your scout team.
Well, you called my scout team robust and generally
robust
to
scout team.
To start
Jesse's robust scout team.
Right. Yeah. Generally, at the beginning of the season, I start out with a lot of guys on my scout team, as I'm not 100% sold that everybody I drafted, especially the guys in the later rounds, is going to be a contributor. But at this point,
unlike
in the season,
me, I'm completely confident everybody's going to be awesome, including Irvin Santana, who's still negative like 20.
He's actually, he's down there with Heath Bell.
He's going to have no, he's negative 20 for the year at least though. So he's had a few like ones and then he's got like negative 10.
He's on the same page as Heath Bell.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, he won't be forever.
No, probably not.
I think so.
I would hope Heath Bell gets off there too.
God, I pray Irvin Santana does. Okay. I digress. Go.
Yes. So, you know, as the season progresses, I tend to trim it out a little bit and
trim it out.
At this point in the season, I'm pretty happy with my squad. I'm pretty stacked. So it's basically now it's guys that I think have huge upside, potential guys that could come up and make a huge impact out of the minors, or guys that are kind of showing inconsistencies but have flashes of brilliance. For example, Danny Duffy could be amazing, and maybe it happens before the second half of next year, but he has the strikeout potential, and with the strikeouts rewarded in our leagues the way that they are,
it's huge.
Yeah, it's, you know, 2 points for every strikeout.
Yeah, when Chad Billingsley had the great start to the season, that's why he was so good, and then the last game that he lost, he only had like two or three strikeouts, and it really
hurts. Doesn't do anything for you.
It hurts.
Yeah. So I'm watching Danny Duffy, and he's been very inconsistent. But he was hurt for a while. But, you know, today he went out, and he's in line for the win against the Yankees. So,
yeah,
he's got six strikeouts and one earned run.
Unless Broxton blows it.
Well, the Royals are winning 4-1 in the top of the sixth. So,
wow.
But he's on his way, you know, and that's another thing when you watch these guys on the scout team.
Sounds like Broxton's kind of situation.
Yeah.
when you watch him on the scout team?
No.
But when you watch them on the scout
team? Oh, yeah. When you watch them on the scout team, you know, it's important to watch who they're playing against. You know, Danny Duffy shutting down New York is a big deal. Danny Duffy shutting down Minnesota.
Seattle?
Not so much. You know? Phil Humber shutting down the Mariners to the tune of a perfect game.
Yeah, Humber had like a 71-point week, because I think he won back-to-back games that week, too.
He has 75 points in his perfect game. He has 67 total for the year.
That's so ridiculous.
So it's like, if you didn't have him for that, then why do you have him?
He's going to have 100 Evan. By the time the year's... Did Evan pick... No, Evan he's a free
up.
Agent.
No, Evan picked him up. No, then he dropped him.
He was a free agent today when I was looking through.
And he dropped him again.
Because I picked up Edwin Jackson today.
I saw that.
Lubke went on the DL.
You know, I'm tired of... Edwin Jackson and I will never dance again.
I love Edwin. I love Edwin and James McDonald. Those are two former Dodger
They're
pitchers.
They're so random and up and down.
Yeah, I love those guys.
Forget those guys. Anyway.
I wish they would do better so I could keep them.
So, you know, I'm watching the guys that are dominating the minor leagues. Like Rizzo. In Chicago, you know, he's killing
Frank
the minors.
Rizzo,
Anthony Rizzo.
I know.
Killing.
You ever listen to Jerky Boys?
No.
Okay.
No. Anthony Rizzo dominating.
Sure, sure.
He was the piece that Boston gave up to get Adrian Gonzalez, made his way to the Cubs, and he is. Yeah.
Is he lighting it up?
He's lighting it up.
What position does he play?
First base.
Oh,
so Anthony Rizzo, they pull him up, then that
Maybe
means
I need to trade Teixeira for a different. This is why you didn't want to do this segment.
Oh, I don't care. Yeah, you know, pick him up.
Yeah,
He's not doing. He's still in the minors. You won't see him until June or July.
Oh, I'll pick him up. All right.
The other one I'm watching is Tyler Moore in Washington.
Right. He just came up.
Yes, just came
up. The Dodgers.
Also
made his debut the day after Bryce Harper's debut.
Yes, much less heralded.
Don't get overshadowed or anything, but
yeah.
You know, we're going to bring Bryce up today, and then you come on.
You
tomorrow.
Know, honestly, that's perfect. I would much rather do that if I was coming up.
He had to fly from Syracuse on the same day and then play a day game in L.A.
Tyler?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Harper came up and then sat for a day, and then
yeah. They,
that's because
they called more that, like, you know,
that's the Kershaw effect
at, like,
right
midnight
there.
The night before, and they're like, go ahead and come on out on a plane at like 6 a.m. So he gets on a plane at 3 a.m. Pacific time, gets there, throws on a jersey an hour and a half before the game, and starts in left field, I think.
That's pretty funny. Whereas Harper, I think they should have put him up against Kershaw.
And the Nationals have a outfield glut. Sorry to digress again, but Mark DeRosa is on the DL, and they just have a complete glut of outfielders. It's kind of a weird deal.
Well,
with Worth and Harper and DeRosa, and they have like two or three other guys.
Well, the problem is some of these guys have gotten hurt. Who is the Michael Morse is in the outfield.
Yeah, exactly.
The problem is they don't have a center fielder.
And Michael Morse is a 300 guy.
Yeah. And this is actually why I believe that the Nationals are being honest when they say they're going to send Bryce Harper back down. And that's because they want him to learn center field, because they do not have a center fielder. Michael Morse will be playing left field for them. And then
I would love it if the Dodgers had Michael Morse in left field. He would be the perfect Juan Rivera replacement instead of Bobby Abreu.
Yeah, I'm hearing about the Bobby Abreu.
I texted Luke after the Angels let him go. I'm like, dude, the Dodgers are totally going to pick him up and put him in place of Juan Rivera. And they do. They are.
Yeah, that's looking like it's going to happen.
Affirmative. Continue. More names.
I also tend to watch guys that I drop. So I'm keeping an eye on Kendry Morales, waiting for him to pick it
you
back
dropped
up.
Kendry's?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He wasn't doing anything. He hasn't done anything.
But you got to be quick on the uptake if you're going to...
I'm watching it. I actually feel pretty good about the guys I have to replace him. So, you know, I'm waiting on
Logan.
Who'd
you pick up?
Brian LaHare.
Brian LaHare.
Who, you know, that's a Nando pick.
Is it?
He's a big Brian LaHare fan.
Oh, yeah?
Everything you read that he writes, he's always talking about.
I don't really read what Nando writes.
No.
I listen to the podcast, actually.
Yeah. Well, you know.
From Nando.
It's like books on tape. Here.
Yeah. That's what I do. I do it while I'm riding my bike, so I have an excuse.
So we got Kendry's, and then we've got the stud Rockies third baseman who we are going to see in the next month. And he's going to be a name that I think is a fantasy fantasy boon.
Okay.
We actually have already mentioned him in a podcast. Nolan Arenado.
Arenado.
Yes, he's going to be amazing.
Yeah. Guy's named Nolan, I'm not so sure about.
He's tearing up the minors. He's going to come up. The Rockies need him. They have nothing at third base. They have a placeholder. They're just placeholding so that he can come up and dominate for them.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely. And then we're watching Alan Craig in St. Louis. He just came off the DL, and he's already kicked it up. I think he's only played 2 or 3 games this week, and he already has 11 points. Today, 2 for 5 with a double, 2 RBI.
Alan Craig, huh?
Yep.
So... tell me this, because it's a question I always have regarding the Cardinals, I guess. Alan Craig, David Freese, and John Jay.
And who do I like the most?
Who do you like the most?
Alan Craig.
Really?
Yes.
Because I know you don't like Freese.
Alan Craig, if you remember, did extremely well in the World Series, and at the whole play, he fueled their playoff run.
Right.
And
right.
I think Alan Craig is one of the reasons that they weren't too concerned about the whole Pujols. I don't want to call it a fiasco, but
right
about
just
letting
what happened
Pujols
with
go.
Yeah.
You know, the Cardinals haven't missed a beat.
Sure,
you know, they're just as dominant as they were. I would actually say they're better than they were when they had Pujols this year.
Right,
they're off to a better start than they were.
Right, yeah, they look really good. I will give them that. Is there anybody else on your scout team that you want to tell us about?
There's a lot of guys on my scout team.
Just list off some
the
names,
next,
and I'll tell you who interests me, who I want to
Sean
know more
Markham.
About. Keep going.
Former guy. Ross Detweiler.
Nice name. Pitches for the Pirates?
Washington. He's one of their...
Did he used to be on the Pirates?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I think he was a Nationals pick, but he's one of their...
one of their
guys. Nationals have an extremely low team.
Like Edwin Jackson.
Yes, and Edwin Jackson is in the four. You know, between...
Gio.
There's Gio, Jordan, Strasburg, Ross, and...
Edwin?
Yeah, those guys.
Edwin.
That's the five. But yeah, they have a great starting rotation. If they could get their offense in place, the Nationals are going to be a good team.
Right.
Jared Parker.
Okay.
Johan Santana.
And Johan's not taken either, huh?
Johan is available.
Yeah.
I feel like you're scouting your team off of my scout sheet.
No, I'm just asking questions that I, because there's guys who I've thought about, and it's just there's always a reason.
Johan is on my list.
What's Johan's reason?
Johan's reason is Johan had shoulder issues. He missed last year.
He had a good first few starts, right? And then he hasn't, and he kind of fell off. He had one good start.
Actually, Johan makes me nervous because he has a shoulder issue. Shoulder issues and pitchers do not go together well.
Sure, of course not.
Johan has struck out 28 batters in 24 innings and looked extremely good.
Yeah.
So I'm watching him to see, are we having... vintage Johan? Are we having early Mets, late Twins Johan?
I feel like if you're going to have Johan, you got to have him now.
You mean like I should go pick him up?
Well, yeah. If
you think he's going to wear down or what?
Right. If he's injury prone, you take advantage of him while he's pitching. Well, you don't wait.
Okay. Well, I could see that, but I'm...
If I pick up Johan tomorrow, don't be surprised.
I'm putting my scout team out there if someone wants to grab any of these guys.
That's a bold move by you. You were reluctant to do so last time.
I'm that confident in the team that I have starting.
Yeah, you are.
I'm watching Max Scherzer because I drafted him with my third pick, and he's now on the free agent list.
Scherzer.
Yeah. Third or fourth.
Who would you rather have? Who would you rather have, Scherzer or Edwin Jackson right now?
Brent Morrell.
No, you're not.
I don't want either of them.
Okay, but if... Okay.
I won't touch either of those guys. Scherzer needs to string together, you know, you start to see stories like, oh...
Can you look at available pitchers? List off the top five available pitchers, if you can. What were you going to say?
I don't want either of those guys on my team.
I mean, you take Bud Norris. How about Irvin? Would you rather have Irvin Santana on your team despite his negative 20 this year than either one of those guys, right?
I guess I'd rather have Scherzer.
Scherzer than Santana?
Yeah.
You don't trust Irvin, huh? Big Irv?
I've never liked Santana. Everybody's like, oh, he's an ace. He's an ace. No, he's
not an ace.
He's a bottom rung third starter.
He's like a
bottom rung third starter.
No, I wouldn't call him bottom rung third. He could be a bottom rung second or a top third. That's where he's at. And I feel like he's a lot like Billingsley in that way.
I think I would rather have Billingsley than Santana.
Really?
Absolutely.
But I feel like they're similar because they both have strikeout potential. They both have really good stuff.
I think Billingsley has much more strikeout potential.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, so what has Santana done? Why does everybody like him?
He's been good the last couple of years.
He was good last year.
Yeah, he was good last year for me.
Oh, okay.
So that's why I like him, maybe.
So, top pitchers.
Uh-huh.
What do you want? Top five?
Yeah.
Philip Humber.
No.
R.A. Dickey.
R.A. with the knuckler.
Wade Miley.
Huh? Who? Yeah.
Jason Vargas.
Vargas on the White Sox, right?
No.
No.
Seattle.
Robbie Ross. Plays for.
So there's not much left on
that,
you know.
But that's the top 5 points guys so yeah. far this year. So there's a lot of big names like Irvin Santana who are negative 20 and better guys. Like I picked up Edwin Jackson today. I think he'll be, the Nationals look relatively legit. I'm not going to give up on him. Jesse, let's look at a few of their most recent trades. You read the trade off to me and I'll tell you what my initial thought is, and then you tell me why I'm wrong.
All right.
It's kind of like our normal conversation.
No, let me bring that. That's exactly what it is. Let me bring this up. This is what we talk about. I call Owen actually all the time, and we just have this conversation.
Jesse, you can't call me at 11 o'clock at night anymore. I'm trying to sleep. Usually pretty wrong. My gut feeling is usually pretty much the worst thing in the world.
All right. The first trade of the league was Elvis Andrus.
Oh, we're going to look at all of them. How many have there been? There's been a lot.
There's been a few.
Okay.
We'll just run through and we'll talk about the more interesting
Elvis
ones.
Elvis for Murphy and Gordon.
That's right.
Yeah. I'm getting hosed on that one. That was a dumb trade.
This trade is looking like Elvis has the side they got Elvis is doing better. That's me, by the way.
What would have, over me. What would have made that trade good as if D. Gordon could have a consistent year. And I just don't think, I think he's going to still have a couple of like 30 or 40 point weeks still.
Yeah.
He has a few in him this year, maybe even 4 or 5, 30 or 40 point weeks, but he's also got some 0 point weeks. And that's going to really hurt in the head to head format that we have.
It's the rookie volatility.
And Daniel Murphy. Yeah.
Yep.
He hasn't been as good as I want him to be either. Although he's been kind of okay.
He has a cold tag next to him.
Yeah.
Thank you, CBS.
Don't tell me that.
And then the next trade, also an Owen trade.
Shut up.
And this was a big one. This was Matt
Kemper.
For innocent until proven guilty,
Ryan Braun,
Andre Ethier.
Kemp for Braun and Ethier. Now,
I feel like this one's a win-win.
Yeah, that's what Evan said. Although, here's the thing about that, is that you pack Kemp's points into one position, and then you can get, even if it's a horrible other position, even if you have Jason Worth as your other outfielder, you can still get a few points a week from Worth on top of Kemp's points. Ethier plus Braun this year has been maybe as many as Kemp.
I think it's win-win though.
Yeah, I had to get rid of
Kemp. The thing is, I think it's going to end out long run. It's going to be in you.
I just want to jump out the window right now, but I think I'll be okay.
Yeah. Well, Braun hasn't really started yet.
And Braun had a 27-point Monday this week, so that made me feel better.
Yeah. So he's coming around, and Ethier's been solid. And, you know, Kemp can't continue to
go like he has been. True. So I think this trade's going to work out for you, but it also gives Evan.
Evan's got the most points in the league by far because of Kemp.
It gives him a keeper for his hitters, and he didn't really have one before.
Right.
So I think it's going to work out. It's going to work out for him in that way, but this year you're going to get the win. Long term, I think it probably works out better for
him. How old is Braun, like 30?
He's pretty young. I think he's younger than that. He's like 27.
Okay.
He's just come into the league. Right. I mean, he's only been up for three or four years.
Yeah. He was a shortstop when he came up.
Third baseman. Yeah. But he was a bad third baseman. So he's a left fielder.
He's a bad left fielder now, too. He's like him and Matt Holliday battle for like the worst defensive outfielder for a good
hitter. He's a better bad left fielder than he was a bad third baseman.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. The next trade is also an Owen trade, but it's very uninteresting. Well, maybe it isn't. These are the little trades that win you leagues, I think. Jason Worth.
I got rid of Worth
for Corey Lubke.
Now Lubke's been a really good starter, and I ended up having to drop a pitcher. Let me go back. Let me put it in reverse here. In the Matt Kemp for Braun and Ethier, who I got rid of was Austin Jackson. I had to drop an outfielder, and I should have dropped Duda, or I should have dropped somebody like that.
Thank you for that, by the way.
Yeah, I was going to.
Jackson is now dominating on my team.
He's doing well.
He's
right?
been terrific.
Yeah, and so what's gonna that trade is not judged on Kemp and Ethier Braun. It's judged on Kemp plus Jackson versus Ethier plus Braun. That's how I judge that trade.
Okay,
because I had to drop somebody, and so far I'm getting hosed. I mean, I'm like you said, it might work out in the end. Austin Jackson may cool off. Kemp may cool off, but. Those are two guys with huge upside that I gave away.
And I think the dynamic, you know, keeper level trades are extremely difficult.
Yeah, you got to take a chance, and that's what I did. I mean, I took a chance that Kemp wasn't going to be as good, and that Braun has luckily.
But you were losing Kemp after this year, right?
No.
Oh, well, Evan was losing Braun.
Right. So he had to give me.
So maybe Evan did make the great trade.
I should have given Evan like Worth. And kept Jackson. I just didn't think Jackson was going to be that solid, and he's been a lot better. He's much improved.
His strikeouts have gone down, and basically the Tigers are dependent on him.
We talked about that
base.
In our first podcast.
No, you predict. Yeah. You know, I said if his strikeouts go down, and they have, and he's been terrific.
Okay, so that was the next one, and I think I got the better of that Lupke Worth deal.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lupke's on the DL right now, but he's pitched really well so far this year.
And the next one was a huge one.
Go.
This was probably I would say this one is probably the biggest trade that we've had, and this one was Troy Tulowitzki and Justin Verlander
to me,
and I gave up Dustin Pedroia and Clayton Kershaw.
Ooh.
And you know, those are two guys,
certainly the biggest one for
those
you.
Are two guys that I didn't want to give up, but they were expiring keepers, and you know, Kershaw was so much better than the entire rest of the league, and the only guy that was better than him was Verlander,
right?
So I felt like it was I feel like it was a straight across trade.
Yeah.
I got a top middle infielder and a Cy Young pitcher for a top middle infielder and a Cy Young pitcher. So
there you go. Got to do it.
What's your take on it? I know you were bitter that I traded Kershaw.
Well, I wanted Kershaw for Felix at some point. I wanted to put together a nice little package for you, but it just wasn't going to happen. So
he was that much better. The wins was a big deal.
I mean, and Verlander's been amazing. So if you get Verlander, great.
So. Yeah, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yep.
The next trade was also me.
Uh-huh.
And this was Matt Moore for Lance Lynn, which I'm pretty happy with.
Okay.
I think going forward, Moore is going to be awesome. And actually, this is one that I tweeted Al Mechlier on.
Uh-huh.
And he said that, yeah, he takes that trade, but it's tough. But he says Lance Lynn's going to go back to the bullpen.
Oh, really?
Which I have a hard time believing at
this
Moore's
point. Been good.
Moore is starting to pick it up.
Right.
I think I picked the week to get him.
He was good this week.
But he was facing Seattle and Oakland. I think I jumped.
It's all about matchups with some of those pitchers, especially in the AL. Because if you're facing the AL East with like Toronto, Boston, and Yankees 1 week or something versus Seattle and Oakland, it's a big. And it's one of the reasons, you know, Felix has people have perceived bad value for Felix, but he also pitches against Oakland a bunch of times a year, and he pitches against the stupid Angels a couple times a year. And you know, teams like the Twins and those kinds of teams as well sometimes. So you know, he'll lose 1-0 to Oakland, but he'll strike out 12.
Yeah.
So they'll still get you, you know, 12 or 15 points in a loss even potentially. Okay, keep going, trades.
The next one is a little bit controversial.
Ooh.
Josh Johnson, Justin Morneau, and Tim Lincecum.
Oh, yeah. Josh Johnson, Justin Morneau, and Tim Lincecum. And to me, okay, four?
Four, Matt Cain, Yovani Gallardo, and Big Al Pujols.
So when it happened, you were saying to yourself, God, whoever got Gallardo, Cain, and Pujols freaking fleeced the other guy.
But let me also say this, though. There was a third-round draft pick given up to the side.
Third round.
Yes. For next year, a third-round draft pick was given to the team that received Lincecum, Morneau, and Johnson.
Got it. So they gave up Pujols, but they got a third-rounder plus those guys, yeah. You know, and Morneau's starting to hit a little bit better, but to me, Cain is like Felix on a better team.
Mm-hmm.
They're like
slightly better.
They're very similar, yeah. And Gallardo is even a really good pitcher on a really good team.
As long as he's not facing the Cardinals.
And Josh Johnson's got an arm that's going to fall off pretty soon. So I still think that is it Kevin got the better part of that deal?
You know what? There's a lot of question marks around all these players except Matt Cain. And whoever got the guy that there isn't question marks, I think, wins. Yeah. So, you know, Matt Cain's, you know what you got. Pujols, you know, historically, he's got to turn around at some point, right? But it's getting kind of late now.
True.
Gallardo's solid, but he's not going to, I don't think he's a guy that's an ace.
Right.
And, you know, Lincecum's got question marks. Yep. He seems to be hurt. A lot of scouts think he's got hip problems.
Okay.
I
think he's got brain problems.
Justin Morneau has brain problems. You know, he's literally fighting the concussions, and he's had a wrist injury. So he's, you know, he's iffy.
Yep. Yep.
And Johnson's coming back from shoulder.
There you go.
Surgery. So there's a lot of question marks.
That's an interesting trade. I think we'll look back like beginning of next year.
It's going to be a tough one to judge now.
We'll see if any of those guys, like how many of those guys are actually keepers at the end of this year. I think a lot of those guys have even question marks about that for the end of this year. Like who is Lincecum a keeper at the end of this year?
Yeah, I have a hard time believing.
Is Josh Johnson a keeper at the end of this year?
I have a hard time believing that Lincecum, Pujols, and Cain will not be keepers. The other guys, Morneau and Josh Johnson, I wouldn't have kept this year.
And there's one more guy. Gallardo is a keeper.
Yeah.
Gallardo's like a John Lester, like borderline keeper.
I'd rather have John. He's definitely a borderline keeper.
Yeah. He gets a lot of strikeouts.
Yeah.
And like you said, our league rewards strikeouts. Keep going.
Let's see. There's another one. This is the last one that's been completed. The rest are pending.
Okay.
This one is Robinson Cano for Jose Altuve and Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I feel like I would have given up more for Cano if Doug had traded with me.
Like he would have got what would he have gotten from you? Put it out there. Come on, I put my scout team out there. Let's hear it.
I'm trying to picture who's on my team even. I would have given him something like a mid-level pitcher on my team.
A mid-level pitcher.
Plus, like,
Here's the thing. Doug's looking for starting pitching. If anybody remembers from two podcasts
I would have given him
ago,
like a loop key or like, I'm trying to think of who else I have on my pitching staff. You can look it up because you have your computer. Actually, you have my computer.
Do you want it back? I don't need it
anymore. Yeah, sure. That'd be great. Did you just log out so I can I have to log back in? Okay, cool. So yeah, I would have given up more.
Well,
let
me explain where Doug's coming from. Yeah, Doug is looking for starting pitching because his team auto drafted and he got all relievers because we all undervalued them.
Right.
So CBS in their rankings, they ended up at the top. So he ended up with almost all relievers. So he's trying to create a starting pitching staff out of nothing. So I like that move. I like the move from Doug's perspective.
I would have given him Teixeira and Zobrist.
It sounds good on paper, but knowing that Doug is looking for starting pitching.
Okay, I would have given him Zobrist and Tommy Hansen.
That's better.
That's better.
I still
think
he's got a better.
Who did he get?
He got Altuve and Darvish. So the question is, is Darvish an ace? Which I have to believe that the Rangers know what they're doing with Nolan Ryan as their president, and that he, you know, he's going to come around. I think Darvish may end up being a keeper level.
I would have traded straight up for Ian Kennedy.
Straight up? I don't think I make that trade.
Really?
No.
Ian's a keeper.
I think the trade he got is better than that.
Because you think Darvish is Kennedy?
I think Darvish is better than Kennedy.
Really?
Yes. This year, at least.
Okay. All right. Damn, we'll see. Ian Kennedy pitched a good game today, too. Seven innings, two earned runs, only four strikeouts, and lost 2-1 to freaking Nationals.
Who did the Yankees get back for Kennedy?
For Ian Kennedy? Yeah. Wasn't it Phil Hughes?
No.
No, they had Hughes and Kennedy at the same time.
Yep. And they let Kennedy go, and now they have all sorts of pitching problems, and Kennedy's out dominating with the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, let me.
I honestly, I like Doug's trade, and I like it from both sides. I just feel like
I could have given him to Shera, and like I would have given him to Shera and Hansen, and I think that is too. Teixeira is somebody who you can keep. And
is Hansen?
Hansen's one of those borderline pitcher keepers, and for Doug, I think getting somebody. Teixeira's not going to be that far behind Cano.
Okay.
And to have Hansen on top of that, I think you're adding a lot of depth there.
I can see that. That trade is closer. But if Altuve is as good as he projects, he looks like a world beater right now.
Altuve. I'm only
he replaces his second baseman. He replaces his second baseman, and he gets potentially a top-level keeper with Darvish.
Out of the trades that have been made, what's the one you like the most? You've been involved in most of them.
I'm biased. Do you mean, like, which one do I like for both sides?
Which one's the most interesting?
The most interesting? I actually think that the Darvish-Altuve one, that's the one I'm going to be interested to follow. Like, when I go back and I look at, if I'm bored one night and I'm looking at stats, that's what I'll see how that's working
out. Did you get Cabrera for Votto straight up?
Cabrera for Votto straight up. That's pending.
Oh, man.
Yep.
You got a good one on that one. But you had the better hand than I did, because I only had Teixeira, and Teixeira's in a bad place right now. What I'm hoping, and we're going to wrap up here, what I'm really hoping from a Teixeira perspective, I know I wrote something on Fansmanship about Teixeira.
was that today?
No, that was a while back when we went and saw Hunger Games.
Yeah. I remember now.
What I'm really thinking is that for him...
That was a bad movie. Anyway.
It wasn't as bad as you. You were just frustrated by the special effects. What I'm hoping happens with Teixeira is that he does heat up, and I'm hoping that he does have a little bit more demand. He's not that old. He's older, but he's in his 30s, but he's not that old. He's not like 37 or 36 or something.
He's 32 or 33, right?
Yeah, he's 32 or 33. He's had so many consistent years. I think somebody's going to want him. And I feel the same way for Felix. If obviously somebody wants Felix, and I'll get value for him.
Yeah.
I'm not worried. I'm just going to talk myself into not being worried.
Which trade do you like the most so far? Okay. Let me ask you two questions.
I appreciate
which trade is the most one-sided? I like the trades being fairly even.
I think the Elvis trade is one-sided. I think it's turned out one-sided.
That's true.
I think having all those points compacted into one position, like, I don't know what I was thinking, but I can't be thinking about depth. You can always find depth in a 10-team both league, like a 10-team league like we have. You can find depth in the waiver wire. You need to hold on to your superstars in that kind of a league. And I had this big vision of Daniel Murphy becoming a superstar because he hit so well for me for a period of time last year before he got hurt. And I just don't know if that's going to happen. That's the thing that I was thinking. I wasn't expecting a ton out of Gordon. And I thought I had Ibar as a solid backup. And Ibar has been like...
He's been bad. The whole Angels team has been
bad. God, Ibar has been just garbage.
He'll turn around.
Garbage. All right. Well, we don't want to take much more than an hour here. So... off we go. Thanks for listening, guys. And as always, if you have questions for us, you could tweet Jesse at mind_butter if you really want to know his thoughts. And if you want to know what I think you should ask somebody else, but you could tweet me it.
My thoughts are awesome, by the way. So.
At Owen Main, O-W-E-N.
Owen's thoughts are pretty good.
Main like the street. So we'll look forward to another podcast sometime soon and hope your fantasy league is going well so far in middle of week five right now.
Yeah.
And so hope you have a great day. Take it easy. This is the Fansmanship Podcast on fansmanship.com.
See ya.